Yeah, I had this word actually on Friday night, and I think I gave it to somebody then, but the Lord's just been speaking to me about it again, and I believe that it's really right for a few people here this morning. When Sue and I are walking, one of the things that Sue hates is to cross a river. Even if it's just a small river, she really dislikes doing that, and occasionally there's an accident, and she falls in. And it's always my fault, because I didn't help her, I didn't give her a hand. And I believe this morning there are a few people who have got some problems or difficulties in their lives, or they need to make a decision about something, and they're finding it very hard. And what they're doing is looking at a river that is raging in front of them. A really big river, and they're finding it really hard to take that step forward because they believe this is a raging river. And actually, God is saying it's not. It's a very, very small stream. And he's saying that if you take just a large step or a little jump, you will easily clear it. And unlike me, when I'm not there to give Sue the hand across the river, he is there to help you across that river. His hand is outstretched to help you to take that step and to go forward into the things that he has for you. And I really believe that there are a few people here who are in that place, standing in front of what looks like a raging torrent, and actually it's a very small stream. And God is going to enable you to cross over that. He will give you the strength, and his hand will be out to help you and to carry you across. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa. Sue's not in the river.
I just had two words while we were worshipping. I had a picture of a pair of lungs, and my hands went really hot, and they do that when... So pray for people for healing. So I don't know whether there's anyone here this morning that has got a problem with their lungs, but if they have, then the Lord's saying he wants to heal that this morning. And then I had another picture of a person and their arms out either side, and they were being pulled in different directions. And it was just before you said what you did about... and I just felt that, you know, the Lord was saying to them, you just look to me and I will... You know, it was a situation where you'd be just being pulled in different ways, but the Lord will show you the way to go if you look to him. Don't look either side at the people pulling you or the situation, but he'll do it.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to welcome visitors, people who have arrived since we started. God bless you. We're glad you came. We trust you welcome and that you enjoyed the presence of Jesus, because we love that here so much. Wasn't that great? Did you like it? I loved it. Like, did you feel the weight of the Lord pressing on us? It was just amazing. I was like, whoa, almost I'm afraid to speak. You might send lightning and smash this place up. I was incredible. Just amazing, amazing time. Lord, we just love your presence. We love you, Jesus. We want to honor you always in this place. We want to honor you as the King of glory. Your presence, Holy Spirit, your presence is so precious here. We want to steward that wisely. We don't want to take that for granted. Ever, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about the sound of heaven this morning. It's the sound that comes out of heaven that can be heard upon the earth. It's a sound that God has for us. And I'm going to start off with Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and just help you understand why this sound is so important. Paul says in verse 2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We all need our minds to be transformed by God's Word and by the Holy Spirit to come and change our understanding and our perception of God's kingdom and take us into the realm that He wants us to live in. And we'll see why shortly. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now that approve isn't a sort of judgment approve that I will decide whether or not I will approve God's will. It's the kind of approval of perhaps when you look at a beautiful building that's been built and you look at it with, wow, I approve that building. That building's good. Or you look at a beautiful painting or a garden or a view and you say, wow, I approve that. Do you see the difference? It's not a judgment word. It's a word of affirmation. It's, I affirm God's word, His good and pleasing will in my life. God is setting us up. And every day, every Sunday, I just look and I see God just setting us up. He's taking us into a realm that maybe some of us are terrified of and others are saying, what on earth is going on? And others are saying, at last, I've longed for the presence of God so much. And I want to go there with everything I've got. I want to take that on. He wants us to have real revelation from His Word, but He wants us to have revelation from the Spirit. The realm of heaven is vast and amazing. And He intends that we would access heaven on the earth, that we would understand heavenly matters and spiritual things on the earth. That we would not live as earthly beings with no hope of ever accessing heaven. But God's intention is that we will have authentic revelation of heaven on the earth. There would be a sense of the presence of angels in the earth and the angels that are about us. There was the sense of His presence, His glory, the colors of heaven. We're meant to access that. We're meant to understand these things because that's what God's calling, setting us up for. He wants us to have more than we think we can have. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 28, and it's Jacob on his journey, and it's a well-known piece of scripture. If you turn there with me, and Jacob is going to his uncle Laban, fleeing from his brother, having stolen his birthright, and we pick this up at verse 10. And it said, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran, and when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching into heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Drop down to verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his dream, his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. You know, there's a sense where sometimes one person can be encountering heaven and 12 inches away somebody says, there's nothing here. Why? Why is somebody encountering this glory and somebody says, it doesn't even happen, it's not really real. And I believe God wants to show us something this morning which I believe is going to be helpful to us all. But Jacob woke up and he thought, surely this is the Lord's place. This is the presence of God. And the Lord showed me something when I was through Bill Johnson the other day. It's just a statement he made. It just says this. It says, the sinners and the prostitutes, etc., of Jesus' day knew who he was, but the religious leaders were clueless because they were satisfied with their religion and no longer aware of their need. They were satisfied with their religion and they were no longer aware of their need for spiritual involvement. And there's a sense in the church where we can come to that place where we say, well, we've got it all. We did the singing bit. We get the word. We put the offering in. We have the coffee. We go home. And then we come back next week and we do it all over again. But I believe that God has something infinitely greater planned for His church. He has something which is far more glorious than we've ever thought of for His church right now that the church is able to access. And that God wants us to see. There has to come a hunger. Hunger helps perception. Hunger really helps perception, but an absence of hunger just reduces our ability to perceive what God is doing, our ability to perceive Him. You know, it's that focus on God. It's that focus and that longing and that heart that's open and aware of God intervening in my life at any one moment. And it was so interesting that the people who had the greatest needs in the day of Jesus were the ones who came to Him because He could meet their need. But the ones who didn't know they had a great need because they felt their religion met their need didn't come to Him. And in fact, didn't want anything to do with Him. I sometimes think the greatest threat to the Western church today is not Islam or anything else. The greatest threat is the affluence of our society we live in, the security of our lives. It's a massive threat. It's the one thing that makes us come to the place where we say, I'm okay. I don't need more than this. I live fine. I have my religion. I read the word. I pray. I have everything I need. I don't need more than this. And that is the greatest threat to the church of Jesus Christ on the earth, because people don't perceive that there's more than they already have. They don't want more than they have. But the other part I wanted to pick up from this is that Jacob's revelation, and then he said, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And he draws a parallel between the house of God and the gate of heaven. And he shows us that they're one and the same thing, the house of God and the gate of heaven. Now, I shared with you some time back when I, about 4 a.m, a couple of years ago, this voice spoke in my bedroom very loudly, and it was a man's voice. It wasn't Dot. And this voice said, you will see heaven open, and you will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's the same reference. It's from John 1:51, but it's the same reference to that situation, a staircase resting on the earth. And Jesus now is the staircase resting on the earth. Jesus is the one on whom the Son of Man, on whom the angels ascend to God, get their mandates and return to the earth. They're the messengers of God. They bring the word of God. They bring the workings of God on the earth are done by the angels. In John 1:14, we read that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. Now, dwelling is tabernacle. It's the same thing. It's a place of living. It's the house. And He made His home amongst us. And so God has come on the earth, and God has made His home here. And this is now the house of God, not this building. But the world is the habitation of God, because God has come to the earth. We're no longer in a position where we're crying out for God to come. He has come. So Jesus has established the house of God on the earth. Jesus is the household of God upon the earth. And in a sense, to not celebrate that truth is to deny that it has ever happened. To not daily celebrate what Jesus has accomplished is to deny it and say it didn't happen. To feel a sense of deprivation or a sense of loneliness or despair is to say what Jesus says didn't happen, and so I can't accept that. But daily, God calls us to celebrate what has happened. He celebrates the fact that the house of God is on the earth. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple, the presence of God dwells in each one of our lives. And this is meant to be celebrated in our lives. And that, if you celebrate something like that, then you speak from what you're celebrating. Do you see what I mean? Silly example, but I'm married and I celebrate my marriage with my wife every day. I wouldn't want to be married to anybody else but Dot. And when I speak as the man who's married to Dot. I don't speak as a single man or a man that could be married to somebody else. I speak as the husband of my wife. So that's where I'm coming from. Now, in the same way, we are the household of God. So He has come and made us His household. And so we speak always from the position of being the household. That's my normal state. That's where I live. That's my position. I am a member of the household of God, and I live in the household of God. It'll get clearer in a moment. In Mark chapter 1, verse 10, this wonderful scripture. When I was a Bible student studying theology, we had to write a whole thing on this, and I loved it. But it says in verse 10, Mark chapter 1, as Jesus was coming out of the water, at His baptism, He saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And I love that. I love that immediacy of that description of heaven ripped open like that. But think about this, the prayer of Isaiah in Isaiah 64, verse 1. And he says, oh, that you would rend the heavens, tear them, and come down. And that prayer of Isaiah is fulfilled at that moment. Because what happens is Jesus is baptized and is about to commence his ministry on the earth, and heaven rips open and the presence of God descends onto the earth. Up to then, presence of God as the Holy Spirit had not come on that way. And the Spirit comes into Jesus, and Jesus begins these awesome miracles. Right from the first one of the wedding of Cana, right through to the other ones. And this was the moment when God revealed that heaven was open, that the Isaiah prayer was fulfilled, and miracles begin to happen. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 2. And you know that Jesus said to his disciples just before he left, and there were 500 of them at that time who saw him, and he said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, for in a few days he will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will have power to be my witnesses on the earth. 120 people of the total number stayed to listen, stayed to wait. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, it was the season of the Feast of Pentecost. There were Jews from all over the world staying in Jerusalem at that time. And this sound. Now, I don't know what that sound was. I know they didn't have a PA system, but I think it was a heavenly PA system. But suddenly, a large crowd gets drawn to this sound from heaven. And this sound draws people, and this sound in an instant has the ability to change the hearts of people who just a few weeks before crucified the Son of God to say, brothers, what must we do to be saved? This sound from heaven that suddenly came on the earth, we know that it happened because 3,000 men got saved that very day. We don't know how many women and children might have got saved at that moment as well. They didn't count them then, but we do now. Praise God. But so what happens is they waited. Now, the interesting thing that the Lord showed me, I love this. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, says, he makes his angels wind and his servants like fire. Just listen to it. Just listen to this. The angels of God, as they entered that room where they were gathered, the sound was like wind. Because there wasn't a wind blowing. It makes them like wind. So they heard the angelic presence. It was a massive wind in the room. And the servants of God were made by God like flames of fire. And so you see the connection is from Psalm 104. And so in the same way, as this happened, the greater miracle, I always think, is that these disciples, who just a few weeks earlier, had been arguing about which of them were the greatest, now spend 10 days constantly praying. They kind of worked out the differences, I guess, after 10 days of praying day and night and not stopping. But in that time, what happened was this incredible unity of hearts, this amazing oneness of intention and expectation and hope. And in this oneness of that expectation, that is where God responds in the most awesome way, sending forth from heaven responses to the earth. And all that God is looking for, in a sense, on this earth is a bunch of men and women who will say, we believe the same thing, we are believing for the same thing, we're living for the same thing, and it's Jesus Christ. Just that. It doesn't sound very complicated, but it's actually one of the hardest things to achieve. Because even right now, as I'm saying this, some of you are saying, I don't agree with that. It doesn't say it, so it's not probably true. Or, I don't like him, so I don't really want to be with him anyway. Or I've got a busy life, I don't really want to be part of that. And you see, one of the hardest things for God to achieve is for us all to have the same heart, one in heart and mind, to be together with one purpose. Isn't it amazing? And in that place and in that time, God does these incredible things. That sound from heaven annihilated the very spirit that was wanting to kill the Messiah in a moment. That sound from heaven is possible for us. You know, when we used to meet in the beginning, when we started this work in Soho and City Gates in Green's Arcade, Green's Court, there was a tremendously, I thought when we first day, when night we went there, I thought this is going to be hard because there were clearly prostitutes above this where we were praying. There was a shop that sold sick stuff next to us and there were kind of weird people around the place. And I thought, whoa, we could have really chosen an easier spot than this. And you know, it was the easiest place to pray. It was amazingly easy to pray. We just, those 2 hours went like that on a Thursday night when we began to encounter God, began to call upon God and began to cry out to him to come and set the city free to know him. And then we got that incredibly encouraging report. Do you remember from the police, this office down the corner? And we got this report via Graham that the police said, since we've been there, the muggings have decreased in the area. Wasn't that brilliantly encouraging? Come on, let's go on. Let's go on. This is worthwhile. This is worthwhile. It's doing something. You see, we were very much one in heart and mind because you didn't have to come. It wasn't your church. It was just a bunch of people praying. So people who came there just came because they wanted to pray. And people came there not because they liked the style of praying or didn't like it. They just wanted to pray. And so we all had the same longing. We wanted to see this sound from heaven enter this city and change this city and bring this city alive for the glory of Jesus. That was the only purpose we had. It was the only longing of our heart. Luke and Joe used to come all the way from Essex on a train, trains to come and just be part of that 2 hours of prayer on a Thursday night. It was just the most amazing time of that. And I tell you something. We have a gateway to heaven in Soho. It's there. I'll tell you something else. I'm going to start a house of prayer in Soho. Because I think that's where the people that really need Jesus are, you see. People who perceive their need are the ones that are going to encounter Jesus. The people who are satisfied with their need, that they have no need, don't know they need Jesus. You know that story that Helena related, the scripture where Jesus says, invited all these people to a banquet, and they didn't come. And then he says, go out on the highways and the byways, invite the guys on the streets to come. And they're the ones that respond. The hungry know they've got a need. The desperate know they have a need. I'm telling you something, somebody caught in the depth of human decay, of whatever depravity it might be, know they have a need. They know it, and we are the only ones that have the message. Do you know that we are the only ones who have a cure for AIDS? There is nobody else on the earth who can cure AIDS. So we need to go there. We need to go there and touch those people's lives. We need to go there where people are desperately in need and say, we've come to settle here. I wouldn't mind living there. I want to be right there. I want to be in the midst of it again. I want to be in that sense of which affects the way you pray because you're looking at all these people caught up in the stuff and you just know why you should be there. Yeah. Wow. Jesus. Jesus. Thousands followed the sound of heaven. Thousands will follow the sound of heaven now on the earth. Because we now have an open heaven on the earth. There might be a lot of spiritual darkness around where you are, but heaven is open. Jesus opened heaven. When the Spirit came, heaven was open. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have an open heaven right now over your life. Right now. Nobody can shut that heaven because you are the house of God, filled with the presence of God. And the same likeness between the house being the gate. You are the gate of heaven wherever you go. Right now, you're a gate of heaven. We are collectively a gate of heaven. We are the revelation of heaven right now here on the earth. We are the point, the touch point of heaven on the earth right now where you are, sitting here. When you go out of there, you still are the gateway of heaven. When you go home, you're still the gateway of heaven. God is wanting to start stirring the people to begin to release this sense of his presence. The sound of heaven changed the city of Jerusalem. It's still changing cities today. The sound of heaven is going to change London. It's going to change Soho. The sound of heaven is going to change. It's all caused by 120 people who started just by yielding their lives. Just yielded their lives to Jesus for 10 days. And the sound of heaven was heard. Just takes a few days for a few people to yield their lives to Jesus and say, I belong to you. End of argument. I've finished the argument. Whatever you want to do, we're going to do this. Whatever you want, I'm going to do it. You own me now. You have my life. Wherever you want my life to be, that's where it'll be. However you want me to live, I'm going to live that way. And there, the sound of heaven will begin to be heard. And people will be drawn to the sound of heaven as they always are. Jesus made the way for us to become this gate on the earth. Now it's our turn, it's our season. Jesus, who said, I am the light of the world, now says, you are the light of the world. He was the light of the world, filled with the Spirit, the only one who filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he says, you are the light of the world. You are the gateway of heaven. You are the revelation of heaven on the earth. You are the revelation of heaven on the earth. You are the revelation of heaven on the earth. Everyone here who's filled with the Spirit is a revelation of heaven on the earth right now. And I tell you something, guys, the only reason why some of us are so bored stiff with it all and thinking this isn't working is we've lost our hunger. And when we lose our hunger, we lose our perception. And we forget why we came in the first place. We have forgotten. And we suddenly say, oh, isn't there something more exciting we can do than this? Have you got anybody else to do? Can we have somebody else preach today? Can we get Benny in? Can we cancel church and have a picnic instead? You're bored. You're not hungry anymore. You're not hungry. You need to get hungry. It's time to get hungry. It's time for the people of God to get hungry. Because it's the hungry ones that perceive their need for more of heaven. It's the hungry ones who will live day and night with a revelation of heaven in their life all the time. Day and night, I live connected to heaven because there's an open heaven above me. And at any moment, I could call upon all of heaven and release it on the earth. Because I live with my heart set on Jesus. I'm filled with a longing for him. That's how I live every day. That's the sound of heaven. That's the sound that changes the world. The more aware we are of his open heaven, the more his glory will fill the earth. The more you say, well, I don't really see the presence of an open heaven in my life. I can't really see the point. I didn't like the worship. I didn't like the songs they chose. The person sitting next to me has had a really bad voice. Why have we got to do this? You've forgotten that heaven's open. You've forgotten. It's all open and available to you. Tune your heart back in again. Tune your heart back in again. I'm living for something greater than my own life. I'm living under an open heaven. And under an open heaven, the angels of God are able to ascend and descend on the Son of Man. They're ready to ascend and descend upon my life, through my life. And they're ready to fulfill the bidding of the Master. They're ready to do the plans of Jesus on the earth. Hallelujah. So, healing is possible. Salvation is possible. I want to be more aware of you, Jesus. I want to live totally aware of you. I don't want anything to disrupt my revelation of your presence. of the presence of Holy Spirit in my life at any moment. I want to know Him. I want to feel His presence here. I want to be able to draw on it because I'm tuned totally to that. So that from there comes all that You have promised. Because I'm tuned to heaven. My heart is now set upon heaven. My heart is set upon the Holy One. I want the people of the sound of heaven to summon people to God. Because I want to be a creator of the sound of heaven. Wherever I go, I want to be creating the sound of heaven. When we get together, do you know we created the sound of heaven here this morning? It was wonderful. I know heaven loved it. I know it. I know God was so pleased. God was loving it because the people of God were encountering Him. And at that point, we didn't think about the roast in the oven or anything else. We just thought about Jesus. And He responds to that. Some might have thought it was going on a bit long. But that's where we encountered Him. We were making a sound. There was a sound of heaven happening here this morning. Do you want more? It's all available. It's all available right now. It's all available. Let's stand together, please. Just reach out your hands, please. Oh, can you say, Jesus, I want You. I thank You that You've given me an open heaven. Thank You that I am the habitation of the Holy God. Thank You that I am the gate of heaven on the earth. Thank You that You've called me to reveal Your presence. Now, Father, I want to see us create the sound of heaven here in London. Because I want to see how thousands get drawn to the sound of heaven. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Now, the thing that works against this is looking at the size of the river that Martin talked about. And once you got your eyes on the raging river, you miss the one who's going to get you across it. Yes. Don't look at the river. Don't look at your problem, your husband, your wife, your children, your money, your lack of money, your job or lack of job, your health or lack thereof. Right now, say, I'm going to get my focus on heaven. Yes. Because it's open. And as I look up, I see the Son of Man. I see the Son of Man standing there. I see Him. The angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Oh, harakishien darabasabrukia bro. Zobrabia karabiriarabukuste. And Father, this morning we want to decide to climb out of our boxes. We're going to get out of the old box. It got us as far as it did, but we're okay. It's okay to leave that one now. It's okay to get outside the box. It's okay to let go of my ideas of what heaven should or shouldn't be like. And let You show me what it looks like. I'm open to being surprised. Surprise me whatever way You want, Lord. I'm open. Come and surprise me. I'm up for a surprise this morning. Ha-ha, I want to see heaven open. Hallelujah. They might just laugh a whole lot more than I do. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. You know, what was really great, if we could celebrate again like You guys were just getting us to dance and celebrate, that would be so splendid. We could just dance and celebrate heaven being open. Come on, let's do that. Let's celebrate heaven's open. You can come out your chairs if you want to. Come and use the space. That's why we make it. We want you to celebrate. While they're getting themselves ready, just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. And just say to them, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this person I'm touching right now will encounter heaven. They will live with a revelation of an open heaven from this day forwards. In their lives. In their lives. And all the fruit of an open heaven will flow in their lives. In Jesus' name. Sherabasin. Ha 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 ha. Let's celebrate. Whoa.
With something I was felt the Lord was showing me earlier, and it just became clearer. What I felt the Lord said was, we're going, God's brought us to a point of terrain change. I actually felt I could see like going up a hill and it had rocks on it, and then suddenly there was a flat sort of grass at the top sort of terrain, and the Lord was saying, you're right at the top of that hill. And I felt he also said, you'll need new vehicles for the new terrain. And I felt there were several implications of this. One is, also, old vehicles for the old terrain have to be left behind. And that'll mean the way we've done it to now will have to be left. The other thing, God has brought out of, bringing us out of the period where progress was hard and bumpy and rough and difficult, and bringing us into a place where we can advance. But also just sounding the warning that on a grassy surface, you can slip quite easily. So keep on course, keep on track. But he's bringing us to a point where all the visions are not difficult to reach and are not blocked and are not hard to reach. But they're available. But we have to make that flexibility that says the old vehicles that were useful for the old course are now to be laid aside.
That's brilliant. Thank you. Thank you so much. You don't know this, but about 14 years ago, Gene Donnell prophesied almost the same word over my life. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.